The following podcast is proudly sponsored by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Get out there while the getting's good. The fall colors are spectacular. The scenery is gorgeous. And the golf course is beautiful. 18 holes of championship golf suitable for all levels of play. Breathtaking views. And I don't use that word lightly. Rattlesnake Point and Mount Nemo along the Niagara Escarpment. And the finest customer service that's allowed by law. I checked. You'll feel like a member of a private golf course when you experience what Crosswinds has to offer. So don't delay, because there are only so many good days of golf left. 14, I'm told. I think it's going to be more than that. I'm going to be playing into mid-November. Anyway, I'm there tomorrow morning. Can't wait. I'll be polishing to go. Maybe I'll see you at Crosswinds. Book your tee time online now. Crosswindsgolf.com. Save $10 per golfer if you book online. Because they don't want to be answering the phones. They'd rather you book online. And I get it. And by the way, when you get there, tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Drinking my Baileys and coffee. Good morning. Hi. Hello, sports fans. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode number 306. I'm your host, Mark Hebsher. I do that every week, don't I? I introduce myself when...
You never know who's listening for the first time.
It's true. You never know who's listening. I'm Mark Hebsher. I used to be a television sports anchor, not anymore. Alongside Toronto Mike, who used to be just a regular schlub in the neighborhood, and now he's a superstar, and he's on the Mount Rushmore of Canadian podcasters. He's actually the only one. There's only one Toronto Mike. We got a jam-packed hour of sports content for you. Notice I say hour. We're kind of into this. It's about an hour. Because people are, it's very time, everything's time sensitive. How, was that baseball game the other night? 4 hours and 23 minutes? Never. I would never spend 4.5 hours. An hour of Hebsy? Maybe I can take it.
Right.
Nick Robertson is going to score 80 goals this year. 80. He had two last night. He put one game, two goals. Including the OT winner. He's the next superstar. Forget about Austin Matthews. It's going to be Nick Robertson. Start planning the Stanley Cup parade route. Also, one of the greatest Maple Leafs ever is suffering from a dreaded disease. It's really horrible, man. Boreas Salming is like, was my hero. And then I got to meet him. And then we were friends. We were neighbors. We carpooled together.
Wow.
Yeah. A long time ago. I got stories, man, about Boreas. I mean, he's not dead, but it's almost like, it's sad. It's almost like, you know, let's say great things and wish him the best. And, you know, because man... Oh, if you ever saw Boreas Salming play in his prime, my God, what a player. We'll get into some of that, maybe. The baseball playoffs have provided a fair bit of drama. We'll get into those, even though the Blue Jays aren't involved. By the way, five Blue Jays are finalists for Gold Glove Awards. Five. Now, we had the best offense in like the American League. We hit more homers. We're all over. We scored more runs. And five finalists for the Gold Glove, and we lost both of our playoff games? Dan Schulman tells ESPN, not going to do baseball anymore for you. No more Sunday night baseball. No more baseball on the radio. I'm committed to the Toronto Blue Jays when it comes to baseball. I'll do college basketball. And thank God for that, because he's the best. But committed to the Jays for baseball. So that's great. Where does that leave Buck Martinez for next year? We'll talk about that. Talk tennis, NFL, golf, sports media. A lot to talk about there. Did you see the outfit that... I don't want to say it, that they're wearing on these intermissions. I'll talk about what it's like, what the intermissions are like when you're doing a hockey game and there's three periods of hockey and there's two intermissions in a pregame and a postgame. When I hosted games on Global, I had to do 5-minute sweaty player interviews, five. And let me tell you, it was not a pleasant experience. But it did fill time during intermissions, and that's what they're trying to do these days. What the hell are we going to do? Let's get six people, four people, eight people. Let's talk about stuff. I'll tell you what. Second game of the year, who's going to be coach of the year? Oh, I'm the other night. Who's going to be the first coach fired? Come on, you're two games, three games into the season. Who's going to be the first coach fired? It's driving me nuts. Toronto Mike joins us. Are you nuts from this? Does this drive you crazy early in the season?
Short drive, but always interested in your insights on these matters. And rude of me, but... could I hijack the show off the top and ask you about something I just saw on Twitter this morning?
Yeah.
All right. So the young woman who hosts the Fan 590 morning show, Elish Forfar, is that how you say
it? Yeah, yeah, I listened to her and Justin Cuthbert are on in the mornings.
So Elish, by all accounts, a good broadcaster, but I hear she's now the in-arena host for Leafs games.
I heard that, man. Like, that's just, that's weird.
I need to know your thoughts.
First of all, I don't know. I think she was an athlete. I don't believe she has a background as a journalist, right? So let's not say, she's a personality. She knows her stuff. No doubt about that. A little dry, a lot of dead air, not a lot of let's have some fun. But again, not a tremendously experienced broadcaster. Again, but knows her stuff. But now the word comes down that she's very excited about it. She tweets out that she is now the new in-game. She is this year's in-game host at Toronto Maple Leaf games. So in the building, she's the one, she's like the orchestra leader when there's a stoppage in play, when there's a, between periods, interviewing people in the stands or that whole thing like that. She's the host. And then in the morning, she's on the fan radio, talking sports and giving her opinion and talking to guests, many of whom are her, contemporaries and working for Rogers owned, right? The Fan, it's just, it's a little too weird there. And so the first question is there a conflict of interest? If you're a listener, is it a conflict of interest when the person that's talking that you want, do you want to hear opinion? Knowing that this person is being paid for, I'm assuming by the Toronto Maple Leafs to be their in-game host or by Rogers. I don't know. It just appears to me that if something had to be said about the Maple Leafs after they lost 13-0, right? And you tuned into the Fan, would you be getting the type of commentary that was unbiased?
So you're
the answer would be no. The answer, of course not, because this woman can't go, she can't get the fucking Leafs for fucking shit last night. God damn it. So fucking bad. I can't believe it. They should fire the coach. What's the GM doing? Could never do that. You're the in-game host at the, talk them up. So you're an extension of the public relations department, as far as I'm concerned. Are you okay with that?
Well, here, I think we've already that ship has already sailed. I mean, if you're watching Sportsnet, they're partners of the NHL. And then you have Rogers owns Sportsnet. Rogers is a, 37.5% interest holder in MLSE. They own the team. Like we already have the conflicts of interest left, right, and center. This one just is a bit more, I think I see your point that this is a bit more blatant because she's going to be hesitant to bite the hand that feeds if she's excited about this new gig where she literally is the in-arena host. How critical of that team will she be on the radio?
You can't bite the hand that feeds you. You can't do it. You could be the most, I'm not going to do this. I have principles. No, that's great. That's great back in the day when your bosses were not the corporation that owns the team. Think about this. It's not that long ago. Dave Hodge could say what he wanted to say on CFRB, privately owned station. They've got him backed. He's perfectly within his rights as a commentator to say these things. And he's saying, and people are going, this Dave Hodge knows what he's talking about. He's an honest guy. Mm-hmm. He says what's on his mind. If the team's playing like shit, he says so. But in today's world, you can't do that. You can't do
but
that.
But I will say one thing, though. Andy Frost.
You can't do it.
Andy Frost.
Not the same. Andy Frost.
How is it different? He hosted
Well, here's why. Here's why. Andy Frost was, quote unquote, a music disc jockey. Andy Frost did not have any background at all in sports journalism. Right?
Right. That's correct.
Rock journalism? Nah, there's really no such thing in that regard. I like April Wine. I like, So Andy Frost was, the station owned the rights. He did he did a radio show there, not a sports show. But then they said to him, "All right, Andy, you're established as an announcer. You're the in-game PA guy. You're a rock announcer. But now that we've got the rights, you're going to do the post-game show." Right. And they paid him more money, whatever. And now he became the postgame show. Whereas Wilner was a broadcaster, right? A sports broadcaster, not a rock guy or something like that. So it was, you could say with Andy, okay, he's a rock jock, but he loves the Leafs. Different story.
Okay, but similar story, because Andy Frost would be hesitant to bite the hand that feeds. He's the public TV announcer for the
I got you, but he wasn't doing morning sport. He wasn't doing mornings on the Fan on the All Sports Station,
right?
Where
right.
sports fans tune in. Okay,
right.
They're also rock fans. And
interesting times. Is this the future? Like, and also, I'm her hours are going to be tough because she's going to have these late nights, and then she's. I mean, that's her.
Don't ever talk to me about hours when it comes to being a sportscaster. Been there, done that. Okay. Did mornings on Q107 and 640 and did Leaf games and did Argo games.
Right.
Okay? And after a year and a half, burned.
Right.
Can't do it. Travel, all the travel too. Like just burned. Like I don't know how the players do it travel wise. But anyway, to answer your question, this is the future. The future is this. You're watching a game, you're listening to the commentary and you're going, all right, who are these people being paid by? And when the certain guys come out and say, like the Joe Siddles and, you know, the Don Cherry's a while ago, whatever it is, to say, yeah, this is horseshit, or he's playing poorly, or somebody better say something, right? You're calling out. And now if the ownership and your bosses don't have a problem with it, if that's your role, that's great. But for most sports broadcasters nowadays, you can't do it. You can't do it. CTV, TSN has the World Cup coming up. They've got NFL. I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you. Everything is owned. It's corporately owned sports teams and broadcast outlets. It was not like that many years ago. It just wasn't.
And also,
the commentary you're going to get is going to be biased. It just is. Because they know who's watching. Leaf fans are watching Leaf games. They don't give a shit about the hockey fans. Maybe I'll check. Leaf fans are watching Leaf games. And so the commentary is Leaf specific. And so the next morning on the Rogers Zone station, it's because Rogers just did the game the night before on television.
Right.
And radio, I guess. Bonesy and Ralphie are they on the fan? I guess they're on the Fan.
They take turns, right? Yeah.
Do they? I don't know, Mike. I
think so. 10:50.
But anyway, come on. It's part of this cycle. You're an extension of the public relations department of the team, right? You are. You're typing out press releases that are, right? Austin Matthews five goals away from, you're never, you're not, no negative stuff. Sheldon Keefe didn't say that about Mitch Marner. No. Let's set the record straight, right? What was the quote? It was a beautiful quote. Where did I have this? Oh yeah, they're asking him about managing the team and the toughness and the pressure and all that, and he's like, he's more about managing the media than managing the players. Like, he's talking about this overreaction, like, Jesus fucking Christ, we're three games into the season.
Speaking of great quotes, you're gonna love this, Hebsies. I'm breaking in to tell you. So you're live on YouTube. The listeners of the podcast should know, at 9 a.m every Friday we're live on Hebsies YouTube channel. Brad Wheeler, an excellent music journalist, quotes you on the YouTube channel as saying, "There's no such thing as rock journalism." A quote from Mark Hebsher about 10 minutes ago.
I was talking in regards to Andy Frost, and not people that write profiles and do long profiles or log interviews like Brad does, right? So I didn't mean to say it that way. In that particular context, Andy wasn't a journalist. He wasn't a journalist who was expected to be, you know, unbiased. He was, you know, working for the station that had the rights to the Leafs. He loved hockey. He loved the Leafs, right? Or he liked the Leafs and he liked talking sports. And here's a job.
He loves the hockey so much, he produced a son who would play in the NHL.
So how do you think he got the son? How do you think he paid for all the tournaments and the travel and whatever? He had to make the extra 50 G a year doing Leafs talk or whatever, 30 G, whatever they said to him.
Right.
I can't, I'm working late and whatever. Andy,
right,
you're doing Leaf talk, and you know, he's like, I need the money. Morgan needs new skates. A new stick. Morgan needs three new sticks. There's $900.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So now when you tune into the Fan, okay? And not just the morning show. I'm gonna assume this is gonna be like the way it was. Like McCallum would never stand for this. I don't know if the other guys in the Fan are gonna go, fuck that. I'm not gonna give any bias towards this. Like, I don't think Blair and Barker are gonna be going, I'm like, fuck that. We're going to say what we want to say.
Former players always tell it like it is, right? That's their designated role.
They pretty much have to. Look, all I know is this. Carlo Koliakovo and Aaron Karolnik, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're listening to sports radio in the morning in Toronto in the GTA, you're going to tune into these guys because they're going to give you the straight thing because they don't have a deal. Like Carla's not doing hosting all Leaf alumni stuff, and woo, we love the.
Can I ask you a McCowan question?
Yeah.
Was McCowan on Sportsline when he was the PA announcer at the exhibition stadium?
Oh no. Okay. No.
I'm just trying to get my timelines. Was he on the radio?
McCowan. He was doing a sports show. Yeah, I was his producer. So
what's the difference between that and what Alicia's doing?
What's the difference?
Because
McCowan wasn't making a commentary. McCowan was just announcing the players.
Well, he's still working for the team. Like, so how can McCowan go on the radio and be critical of the Blue Jays?
Are you kidding? He was the most critical of the Blue
Jays. Okay, I'm just pointing out that's what Alicia's doing, so maybe we cut her.
No, but the thing is that it wasn't the ownership. Like, the Blue Jays didn't own the radio station.
No.
You know what I mean? Foster Hewitt said, listen, Bob, you say whatever the fuck you want. You fucking go, baby. We got, you know. Yeah, say whatever the fuck you want. Don't you worry about stuff like that.
I really did hijack your show.
Right? Yeah, it's okay, man. It's okay. All right. Well, you know, there. It's fun. It's Friday.
Here, I'll hit the theme again.
No, we don't have to at all. Anyway, so we've said it before on the show. The regular season, I don't care what the sport is, means nothing. I mean, it's been perfectly illustrated in the baseball playoffs, right? Some of the greatest teams of all time failed miserably in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Miserably.
Right.
Some pretty darn good teams have failed in the playoffs. Some pretty average teams have gone all the way just because they happen to get hot during the postseason. With that in mind, maybe we should get excited during regular season games. Mike, I know last year at the beginning of the year, I remember this conversation. You were like, it's too tough for me. It's too tough. I get my hopes up. And then, you know, I'm disappointed, bitterly disappointed. I thought about it that except for the championship team, every single fan of every other team is disappointed. The season always ends with a bad taste in your mouth. Always. It just does. But in our case, it's like just more, so more palpable. So to start the season, I'm thinking, here we go again. Mike's going to like, it's a regular season. Who cares? And I'm thinking, no. Instead of the grief in the postseason, let's enjoy it while we can, right? Let's just savor every Nick Robertson goal, just everything about it. Because we know deep down inside that at the end, unless we win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be we have to be prepared for that. And so, you know, the Leafs were they were this close to tying the can to Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe and putting cement shoes on them and sending them to the bottom of Lake Ontario. This close they were, right? Three games into the season. My God, what kind of a goaltending thing did you do? Matt Murray, what the fuck's going on? The Muzzin, he's like, oh, my God, Justin, And this panic is not good because already the expectations are way too high. Because not only are we going to make the playoffs this year, we might win the division this year, probably got to be two rounds at least, right? Well, we got to start winning now. And every game, and the media is great at this, but you know, TSNs, but it doesn't matter. Tough loss, big win, huge game. And it's because every game's on TV and every TV show has got to be, what's the theme tonight? It's game five of the season. The theme is Sheldon Keefe said this about Mitch Marner behind closed doors, and it's a big production. Fuck. Another game tomorrow and another one. And I know that these producers are racking their brains going, wow, we got to have a theme. We got to have our highlights. We got to have a little music. We got to come up with something fucking 80 times a year, whether it's TSN, whether it's Sportsnet, like it's exhausting. So let's just enjoy it. Like last night, it was just, let's bask in the joy of the 3-2 overtime win against the previously undefeated Dallas Stars, where the team looked like shit for a while. And then, hey, Nick Robertson back for another kick at the can. Is that Dennis Malgin leaving town now? Because he's never going to get back. This kid's a keeper. Two goals, including the overtime winner. Oh, that's great. Great game at the vault. Great energy. I'm like, you know what? This is good because these fans know deep down inside that there's going to be some kind of shit disappointment. Some bad shit's going to happen this year. So let's enjoy it while we can. Let's go. Let's have fun. The only beef I have with this one is Kyle Dubas has got to know. He's a smart guy. He has got to know that he's on camera, that I'm not positive of this, but there's either a fixed camera, Mike, a locked off camera that's where Dubas is. That's where he goes. We're going to frame it. He's usually standing. He's never sitting. And we're going to lock off this camera 14 locked off. Keep checking, you know, and then the director, the producer, get it. Oh, look at Dubas. Take 3 or take 14. Or there's a camera operator that's going, oh, fuck, I gotta just be on Dubas all the time, right? Like all the time. Because they'll show stuff. They'll show like a highlight of this was Dubas's reaction to that, you know, call by the referee.
Right.
Like they're not on him live. They're like, okay, you're rolling on 14. Beautiful. We got Dubas. What did he do? He said, fucking shit, fuck, motherfuck, fuck, fuck, fucker. Oh my God. Right. Let's run it. Right. Let's run it. Cause I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, but I don't think they showed that live. Do you know what I mean? I could be wrong, but in the context.
What's your beef? I'm just trying to understand.
Well, it's the fact he's got to know that he's on camera. Why is he going, fuck, 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 fuck? Kyle fucking Dubas. He needs to apologize for this.
Really?
He's got to know that he's on camera. He's got to know that he's on camera.
But don't you like the passion? Like,
he's got to know that he's on camera. What motherfucking fuck, fuck? Like, you can't. No. The coach, sure. You're yelling. You're in the heat of the battle. He's up in the fucking booth. He's Kyle. You know you're on camera. What? Yeah, you know, right over there, way over there. Yeah, they got a camera locked off on you, waiting for this, right? Directors and producers love this. You know, get me a shot up in the booth of the guy. Ron Caron was the best. You remember Ron Caron? Mike, yes. He was the GM of the St. Louis Blues.
Of course.
Oh, my God. He would go wild with wild gesticulations.
Did he have the sweaty armpits or am I confused?
Oh, they all had sweaty armpits. But he would give the finger from like up in the booth, right? He'd be up in the box, the GM's box. Oh, my God. He was wonderful. And I know for a fact because my producers like Mark Askin and Eddie Milliken, whenever we did games in St. Louis, always, you know, always they had a camera. You just get me Ron Caron's reaction. It was fabulous. He made the Ebsy Awards 100 times. I love Ron Caron. Ebsy, you'd keep showing me going like this and like that and gesturing. He was fantastic. I like that passion. Yeah, but yeah. He was never going, you fucking cocksuckers. But you're not
you worried about like that. A kid reading lips? What's your concern? Because you've been cursing up a storm today. Yeah, you're not offended by
cursing. But I'm not on national television.
No, I know. I know.
Is that the GM of the?
But if Roger Sportsnet's going to air him watching the game, they got to put up with the fact he might drop some F-bombs if you could read lips.
Mike, name me the other teams. Except for the time that Masai went, fuck Brooklyn. Come on.
I love that.
They don't cut away. Plus, he's not usually visible during the game, right?
Okay.
Ballard, they would always have a shot of Ballard and King Clancy in the bunker.
Right.
Right? At the Gardens. They'd always have this shot of him. But like, you know, he wasn't dropping F, but fuck you, Van Helmond. No. Well,
he might
wasn't doing that. But anyway, I just think that's wrong. But anyway, listen, the dude rolled the dice and did all right, huh? He gets two goaltenders, one of whom is injured, the other one who's like, the second coming of Mike Palmatier. Hey, I'm telling you, the Samsonov looked beautiful. 3-0 to start the year. The de facto number one goalie. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So Dubas. But I mean, yeah, I don't want to see the GM going, oh, fucking fuck you.
Like, so
you
for the record, Hepsi doesn't want to see it. I want to see more of it. I
no, think you more, don't. You don't want your kids. How old are your kids?
There's 6 and 8 at the bottom.
And you want them watching Leaf go, Daddy, Kyle Dubas. Just they hear worse from me. No, Mike, no. Anyway, I've been watching all the Leafs games, and it's a different TV crew every time, it seems. There's Monday night. Now there's no more Sunday night Rogers hometown Sunday night hockey.
Right.
So that's blown up. Don Cherry before that was blown up. All the other blown up.
Did you hear what Tara Sloan said about Don Cherry? No surprise, I guess, but she's calling him out for being a bigot. Did you read any of this? I'm curious.
When?
This is all in the past... Yeah, go ahead.
She's calling him out. What do you mean she's calling him out?
I guess she went public with how uncomfortable she was with Don Cherry and his rhetoric and his bigotry.
How many years ago was this?
I don't know, in the last week. Like since we last recorded.
No, I don't mean that. Don's been gone since what? Poppy Day and how many years ago?
Two years ago. We're going back, obviously.
So why? How did this come out now? I didn't hear this.
I guess she just finally went public about it. It was news in like sports, Canadian sports media circles. There was a lot of chatter about it because she went public. I was just curious if you were, if you had read any of that. No big deal.
Oh, what'd she say?
Oh, you got to catch up afterward. I'll send you a link, but she just went.
No, I'm not that interested. So she just decided that she just wanted to continue.
Yeah, she just wanted to say how uncomfortable she was with
that. People still like Don Cherry.
The rhetoric.
Miss Don Cherry.
Yeah.
But in the context, like I missed on Cherry in the context of, I want to see an intermission. Like now I just, as soon as the intermission.
Oh, you want to be entertained.
I want to be entertained, informed, something in the intermission different than what I'm getting, which is ensembles that I can't believe what some people are wearing. Like, I know that people, it's been like this for years. We've discussed this, you know, your appearance on television. I get you're on television. It's a visual medium, right? But there's got to be like an editor in print. There's got to be like an editor that goes, oh, no. That doesn't make it to air. Do you see what I mean? Either the structure's wrong, the composition is wrong, the information is wrong, but that doesn't go to print. In other words, okay, something's wrong with this. That doesn't go to air. Do you know what I mean? There's a quality control that's missing. That's missing. And I'm not going to say anything else. Okay. All I know is people are scrutinized by what they wear and their appearance if they're on television. All I'm going to say. Okay.
Gotcha.
Good. former Maple Leaf great Borja Salmon. In for the fight of his life, really suffering from ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. This week, we found out he's no longer able to speak, and he has tremendous difficulty swallowing. Now, I knew Borja well. I won't get into it now. But anyway, I knew him well. It saddens me to see him this way. First of all, Borja was the worst interview ever because of his voice. He had the worst voice. He had a voice that you thought he was going to lose his voice like every time he talked. So that's the other thing. It was not a resonant voice. It was not. It was shrill and it was throaty and it was scratchy and, you know, but still, man, to, you know, for him to not be able to speak, it's terrible. Thoughts and prayers to the king. And more on him when the right time comes. But, oh, God, I got some stories.
What a horrible disease.
Terrible. Just terrible. And let me tell you something. Borja Salming was like, I never saw anybody in better condition than this guy. Never. After a night out, this guy could skate rings around the other players. Like, you know, he was unbelievable. Okay, let's go to some basketball. Hey, basketball season snuck right up on us. Like, hey, the Raptors, they play what, preseason? That's the other thing is the line between preseason and regular season isn't clear anymore. Like they play like these guys, like the Leafs were playing preseason games when they were playing regular season games, but you know, over there. And even now with like the Yankees Cleveland series got delayed. So, you know, they hadn't even finished their series and the National League series, the championship series started. So it's, you know, there's kind of this, okay, where are we? Well, the season begins now. And hockey season used to be a good month, I think, before basketball season. I seem to recall that there was 3 weeks a month, it seemed, before the NBA season started. Now it's like they start like 1 week right after the other. Anyway, Raptors won their home opener the other night against Cleveland. They're in Brooklyn tonight to play the Nets. Fuck Brooklyn.
I'm working blue. I love it.
I'm liking our team this year. You know, I'll be honest, I hadn't paid that much attention because they play basketball year round. Like these guys play in the summer league, the G League. There's nonstop. It's year round basketball. What did I know about Christian Coloco? I love this guy. 7 foot Cameroonian, 6 rebounds in 15 minutes of play, and a couple of points there too. Nice to have a big man. Raptors went with a really small lineup. Their starting five is not really small. It's not like tiny, like dwarfs or anything like that. But you got Siakam, OG, Gary Trent Jr., FVV, and Scotty Barnes. That's your starters. That's going small. Then you got Precious Achiuwa as a big guy. Then they bring this Coloco off the bench for 15 minutes. Delano Banton, the Canadian kid, 45, the 45 bus, the Kipling 45 bus. Is that the 44 bus, Mike?
I don't know. Islington 110 guy, so I'm not sure.
No, I know. But the Kipling bus, the 44 is the bus that goes down to Humber College, right?
Right. I think
so. And the 45 goes up to Rexdale. From the Kipling station. Okay, just wanted to get that straight. looking forward to another exciting season with the Raptors and all your TTC bus numbers too.
How do you think these Raps are going to do this season? We haven't done. I'm just curious.
You know what? They'll make the playoffs, and I don't know. I don't have a bet on them. I'm so tired of the betting. That's the other thing is, you know, what's the odds? There's just too much of it. I'm inundated with it. I'm just inundated with it. You know, what are the odds of them winning the division tomorrow? What about next week? What about during the game? What are their chances of winning? And then when I hear this, like, you know, when whatchamacallit scored seven runs, like I remember on the chat, the Blue Jays chances, probability, win probability at that time was 99.92%. I'm like, fuck right off with this. Like, really? Like, you know, I'm sitting watching the game, bases are loaded, and you're going to go, hey, guess what? I just found out our win probability is shut up.
So don't bother playing this game because it's over.
I don't bother watching.
Go make other plans.
I think the Raps will make the playoffs this year. Beyond that, I'll let you know later. I don't have to make, I'm not forced to make a prediction. Nobody, you know. Baseball looks like the Houston Astros are the clear-cut favorite to win the World Series now that they're up 2-0 on the New York Yankees in a series like nobody likes either team except for like they don't. The Astros are cheaters and we hate them, right? And even though they lose guys like Springer and Correa and Garrett Cole, like they just keep on going.
Yeah,
looking really good, boy. A lot of good players on that team. So they're up 2-0, game three at Yankee Stadium Saturday. Meanwhile, tonight in the NLCS, the upstart Philadelphia Phillies host the upstart San Diego Padres in the first home playoff game in Philly since 2010, when Ryan Howard like tore his Achilles on the final, like hit a ground ball. And, oh, it's just awful. Terrible. So that's 12 years ago. That series is tied at 1-1. I like both teams. Like I'll be happy when one of them, doesn't matter which one, but I prefer Philadelphia because Rob Thompson is from Corunna, Ontario, the manager. He's actually not there now. He's in a town outside of Stratford, a town that's so small that literally if you blink, you'd miss it. Little teeny, I know the town. I've been through it there. I think it's just west of Stratford. I can't remember, but that's where he lives. When he's not, you know, managing the World Series champions.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Five Blue Jays are finalists for Gold Gloves this year. Five. Vladdy at first, Chapman at third, Jackie Bradley Jr., who split his time between Boston and Toronto as a right fielder, which, okay. Jose Berríos as a pitcher. I never thought of him as a great fielder, but I don't know what you have to be. Like, he made one error, and he had a .959 fielding percentage. But, okay. And Whit Merrifield as a utility player, which... I didn't recall that was part of it, but so there's three finalists at every position. And so we got five guys that are finalists. So if we got five finalists and we had all these great hitters, like how is it that after all that whole, like the regular season, this is back to the theme, the regular season means nothing.
Well, you know, the answer to that
regular season, right? But the playoffs are so exciting. Like, listen, the Dodgers, the Dodgers are like the Atlanta Braves of the 90s.
Right.
Like every year they make the playoffs and the Dodgers, the only time they won the World Series was in the COVID shortened season.
Right.
Like every year. And like, how much better can you do? You can't win every game during the regular season. So to me, it's like it's blowing your load. It's like, let's, you know, and they're off and there go the Dodgers out to a quick start and they're halfway home at the All-Star break. It's the Dodgers leading by 25 length secretariat and down the stretch they come and it's the Dodgers win and the Dodgers are going to win. And the final 70 yards. And now the Dodgers, the whole season now, the entire season, the enormity of it all has fallen on the shoulders of the Dodgers. And now they're just done. And to see a guy who was a great pitcher or just playing fabulous in his prime during the season going, oh, my God, if he can only save some of this for the postseason. And then the postseason comes and they got nothing left. They're gassed. Suddenly the other team has got this young guys or retreads or fucking Brandon Drury's. What? Like, you know, guys out of nowhere. Who the fuck is this guy? Who are these guys? Crazy. That's what makes sports great. It's great. Dan Schulman announced this week that he will only do baseball for the Toronto Blue Jays starting next season. Dan has informed ESPN, that he'll no longer be available for Sunday Night Baseball on radio. Now, Sunday Night Baseball on radio is a tradition that, listen to this, man. Mm-hmm. Like, only three guys have ever done Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN radio. Three guys.
Ooh, can you name
That's
them?
That's it. I'm pretty sure I know who they are. One is John Miller.
Right.
One is Jack Buck, I believe, and Dan Schulman.
Wow.
I think, was it Jack Buck was the first one? Oh, my God. Tell me I got this
wrong. That's rarefied air.
Jesus Christ, I got this one wrong. Am I thinking of Jack Buck with Monday Night Football? Oh, my God.
Well, so, Joe Buck?
No, ESPN. What is ESPN? Okay. Anyway, I've lost a brain cramp. John Miller was the one who was on for the longest, I'm pretty sure. And Dan Shulman. It's a big deal. I mean, you heard by a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's informed them he won't be doing it anymore. Look, the man wants to stay in Toronto more often. He does, and he does a phenomenal job. He's the best college basketball announcer and has been for decades now, Dan Shulman, on ESPN college basketball. And it kind of, you know, like Buck Martinez is going to be 74. He's had health problems. He's intimated that he, you know, this might be it. He might want to spend his, you know, remaining years with his wife, Arlene, and his son, Casey, and his other, I can't think of the other, anyway, his grandchildren. You know what I mean? Like the reality and the enormity of it. So I'm hoping that he comes back in a color role, a limited role. That's fine. You know, but, hey, Buck, pick how many games you want to do and Pat Tabor will do the other ones or whatever. I like all their TV crew. I do. I like Hazel and Arash, you know, even though they're working for the team kind of thing and, you know, pump it up when they win. I like Jamie. I like Joe. I like Caleb Joseph. I think they do a really good job. So, you know, let's hope next year the Blue Jays are, you know, their TV stuff is great. You know, it has been top-notch stuff.
Did I ever tell you that I went to primary school with Buck's son?
Casey?
Yeah.
You did?
Jane and Bluer, yeah.
Come on.
So, yeah, well, he was younger than me, but we were in the same school at the same time, and everybody knew Buck's kid was there because Rance Molinick's kid was there at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Fun fact.
Yeah, I got Buck on the Blue Jays. I was on radio at the time, 1430. And I was railing against Pat Gillick. What the hell? Ernie Witt cannot carry the load by himself. Still, he was still a young catcher, susceptible to left-handed pitching. And the right-handed hitting catcher was Bob Davis. And it was terrible. And then Dan Whitmer was another guy. It was awful, these guys. And I'm like, you need a right-handed hitting catcher. This is terrible. You're getting burned badly by these left-handed pitchers, blah, 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 every night on radio, railing. Anyway, my cousin, Cookie Lazarus, who was a player agent in Montreal, had a couple ball players, Gene Garber, had some hockey players too. One of his clients was Buck Martinez. And I remember him saying to me, he says, like, Buck is like the fourth string catcher for Milwaukee. He's not even playing. He hasn't even had an at-bat. He's like the bullpen catcher. And, you know, and I'm like, come on, is a veteran catcher caught for Kansas City in the in the championship series? A right-handed hitter, right? You know, okay, like not the fastest or the best hitter, but a good guy to have, veteran catcher. Right. And I'm saying to Pat Gillick on the air, get this guy. So sure enough, Pat Gillick trades a guy named Gil Kubski, an infielder, for Buck Martinez, who again was the fourth string catcher for Milwaukee. Wow. Ted Simmons, Charlie Moore, Ned Yost, Buck Martinez. So like a month into the season, he hasn't even had an at-bat. The Jays get him. This was in 1981. And him and Ernie Witt end up being a pretty good darn combo. And at the same time, Buck's interested in broadcasting. He's an articulate guy and he knows the game. And, you know, like a lot of catchers, he's very well versed in, you know, the game and the subtleties of the game, et cetera.
Right.
And so when the time comes, I say to one of my bosses at the time, Lenny Bramson, who's running the Blue Jays radio network, I say, Buck would be great to have on as like a guest commentator, like an expert commentator. And he was fantastic. He and I used to do a post-game show where he'd go into the dugout after the game, give him a microphone, would be there, and headphones, and we would do the post-game show. He'd be in the dugout, and I'd be, you know, let's take calls and stuff. He was fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. He was terrific.
Nice.
That's my Buck Martinez story. NFL Thursday Night Football, Arizona Cardinals outlasted the New Orleans Saints 42-34. Late in the first half, with the Cardinals trailing, television cameras caught quarterback Kyler Murray in a heated exchange with his coach Cliff Kingsbury. Lot of fuck. Okay? Heated exchange. Even lip readers were shocked by some of the language, but it all worked out at the end. And apparently, like Murray was basically saying, look, man, chill, we'll be fine. It's okay. It's all right. Don't get so worked up. Right. And it was pretty wild to watch that. It seems like whenever we see someone saying fuck on television, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be outraged. We shouldn't be surprised. We should be surprised if they don't say fuck. We should be surprised like, oh my God, just look at that. No expletives at all.
Right.
Look at how he's holding himself together. This person, like,
again, to me, it's all about the passion. You want to win. This is, you're in the cage. Let's fight. Right. Yeah, you might hear the odd F bomb. That's sort of comes okay. Here, territory.
Here's the other one. Okay, and I'm afraid to ask this, and I don't want to be, you know, labeled as a sexist or whatever. Mm. But do women drop F bombs like that? Like,
sure, I'm sure they do.
Do they?
I'm sure they do.
Like, if we're watching,
why
women,
they? Why
like,
would they not drop an F bomb?
I don't know. I don't know. But as frequent, like, you know, really, like, I don't see. I'll be honest with you, Mike. If you're going to show me a video clip of a female athlete, referee, coach, manager going, fucking, I'm going to be, whoa, like, that's okay. And that's, am I being a prude?
Did you see those two boxers?
Yes. Yes, I did. But still, that to me is kind of like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd have to see it in context. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, if I'm watching tennis, and I won't even mention the name of the group, but the two of the women are playing, and one's like, fuck! Like, I just, whoa, what did she just say? Like, you know? Anyway.
Tennis is not like these other sports.
No, but right? You know what I mean? In golf, for example, you had a bad shot. Like Justin, you hear what Justin, not Justin Thomas, yeah, Jordan Spieth, you're like, oh, fuck, like that, you'll hear that. Once Rory McIlroy will drop an F-bomb, Tiger, right? Fuck. But to hear, like, Brooke Henderson, ah, fuck. Like, no, I don't know.
No, but I bet you the hockey players. I bet you the women.
You know, hockey players.
I'm sure they're cursing.
We're gonna have to ask. We're gonna have to ask.
Let's mic them.
Like when Jen Botterill was playing, she goes, "Fuck it," at Harvard.
Oh, I have an answer for you. Okay, so Vin Scully, Jack Buck, John Miller.
I'm sorry. Why didn't I? That's right. It was Vin. Of course.
So Craig Miller. Why did I?
Wait a second. You said Vin Scully,
Jack Buck, John Miller.
No. Not Vin Scully and Jack Buck. It's just.
Oh, you know what?
It's not.
Those are the only guys that call a World Series for ESPN.
No. Sunday Night Baseball. It's just Sunday Night Baseball.
Okay, so different facts.
And didn't do Sunday Night Baseball. He did Dodger games.
Okay, so that's a different.
He did World Series baseball. Anyway. Was I saying tennis? I mentioned tennis. Felix Auger-Aliassime, a winner last week in the 250 event, as I predicted, as he should, and he did. He's into the quarterfinals at the European Open, where he's the number two seed. He gets the Brit Daniel Evans in today's match at the Stockholm Open. And where else would it be, you fucking idiot? Stockholm Open in
Copenhagen.
In Rhineland. In the Rhine. Denny Shapovalov lost his quarterfinal match to Alex de Minaur. And on the distaff side, Bianca Andreescu might have dropped a few F-bombs that I didn't hear, but she's out of the Guadalajara Open, losing her third-round match to third-seeded Jessica Pegula, 6-4, 6-4. Too many unforced errors for Bianca in that one. Too many loose forehands. I watched the match. She was close. She could have, I don't know. She's not there yet. She's got to just tighten it up a bit there. And yeah.
I got breaking news for you.
Go for it.
John Schneider confirmed as Blue Jays manager until 2025. This comes courtesy of Moose Grumpy on your YouTube channel.
Courtesy of Moose Grumpy.
Right. So there you go. We actually last week we said as much that he'd be back, but we did talk about it. So there you go.
Well, I mean, it's really a no-brainer, despite what, you know, when I said last week, you know, everyone's got to make mistakes. But let's be honest, if you're going to go forward with a team, right, and you've basically got, you know, the core is there, you may as well have your manager as the core. I don't see any reason why not. The other thing, too, is why you're going to wait around to see who's available, who gets fired, right? Old meat, you're going to go
and
get
he's
old
their
meat.
Guy. Why would you throw
right?
him out because
no,
of
but
that,
even yeah. so, like, even if so, let's say Terry Francona was available, because we've been chalishing for years, we need Terry Francona to run this team, he'll get the most out of this team. John Schneider will do plenty fine. It'll be plenty, plenty fine. He knows these guys. He's known them young. I have no doubt that he has the skills, but there's a lot of on-the-job learning, and you got to have good support, and you got to know, you know, yeah, is that his coaching staff? Is that the staff that he chose, you know, or is that Charlie Montoyo's staff?
Time will tell.
All right. Wednesday morning, Boston Globe journalist Ben Volin went on WEEI radio and dropped a bombshell report of a Patriots quarterback, Mac Jones, in which he now admits was false. It came from an erroneous source. During the segment, Volin shared a scoop that he had received from a Twitter DM claiming Jones had an attitude problem. Someone reached out in my DMs, he said, and said, yeah, Mac has attitude problems. This was someone who said that they had worked at the Gillette Stadium, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the reporter, Volin, admitted that the report didn't come from someone who covers the Patriots and wasn't something he planned on publishing in the Globe, but he still was confident that this unnamed source offered some aspect of credibility. So this is a newspaper writer. All right, I heard from someone who I feel has credibility. I'm going with it. So after WEEI made headlines out of the segment and put it on social media, of course, some follower shared a screenshot of his DM to Volin, admitting that it was a fabricated report and expressing surprise that the sports writer actually ran with the story.
Wow.
Okay. So like this guy, he was hacked. He, you know, this is part of the media today. Is it's like one of two things. You're either like this woman, Alish Fofar, who, okay, I'm, you know, full disclosure, I work for the Leafs. I'm their in-game host, and I also host a radio show. There you go. All right.
Nowhere to hide there.
No. But I'm saying, right?
Right.
This guy here, I admit it. I thought the source was good. I ran with the story. This is the type of journalism we have these days. Whoever gets the story first, that we sell. In the old days, it was, you got to sell papers. Now it's, you know, you got to have clicks or whatever. But the point is that if you run with something and it's wrong, you better own up to it fast. Fast. Okay. What do we learn from this? Okay. We learn that some people in the media publish false reports, make false announcements, right? And they always quote sources. You have to. You're going to, you know, I just found out that so-and-so is being traded to the Toronto Blue Jays from the Houston Astros. Okay? Well, who are you? Who's your source? Well, I don't have to have a source. I'm so-and-so.
Right.
I have this many followers, and I work for accredited, you know, journalist outlet. Right. And so we go, oh, well, it must be true then. And then we find out, no, it wasn't true. Well, why did you run with it? Well, we want to be first. We want to be the first ones. We don't want to get it right. We want to be the first ones. We want to be able to say we got it first. And you're going to come back to us because we get it before anybody else. And that's why you depend on us. And that's why we're trustworthy. So come back to us. So this dude, all right. He's like, first of all, I don't want to get fucking fired. But this is wrong. And he apologized. He owned up to it. And a lot of people don't do that. That's all I'm going to say about this. Okay. Guy was wrong.
Lest we forget, Hebsy, it's better to be right than to be first.
Absolutely. Okay. Finally, now, the problems with hockey intermissions.
Okay.
All right. Now, I have, you know, look, I did this job. I was the intermission host. I didn't have a panel to work with or anything like that. But this is a big problem because, like, you know, I said before, every other sport, the breaks are easy to do, halftime. But to have two intermissions, and those intermissions are 15 minutes, 17 minutes, 20 minutes, it depends on how many TV spots they can cram in and whatever. And now every game is televised. Every game is televised, you know, in a lot of cases by two different, you know, the visiting team and the home team. Excuse me. What happens is the visiting team will always take the home team's feed, right? Use the home team's crew that's there, and they'll provide their own producer, right? A technical producer as well, and the announcers, the talent, and that's it. Everybody else is part of the home team crew. So all these games are on television, and there's intermissions. There's what are we doing for the first intermission tonight? What do you mean we got back to back? What do you mean we got six games in the next 9 days? Now you're the television, but you're producing Leaf games. You're Mark Askin. You're going, holy geez, six games in 9 days. Oh my God. So every day as a producer, you're like, we got a television show to do tonight. We're doing a show. Oh, there's a hockey game going on, but we're doing a show. We got an opening to do. We got a first intermission to do. We got a second intermission to do. We had interviews to do. It's a lot. And hockey's been on television for 70 years. You got pregame, you got postgame, you got two intermissions. What are you going to do to hold your viewers? For years, it was Don Cherry's Coach's Corner in the first intermission. Do you know, Mike, that at the Montreal Forum, when Coach's Corner first started coming on, at the Montreal Forum, all the televisions were on the French language broadcast of the game in the press row. All of them, except for like in the English booth, they're all in French. Do you know that they had someone as soon as the first period ended on Saturday nights, no matter what game was going on, as soon as it was over, this person would go and manually switch every single television on press row, every single one, to the English CBC, right, in Montreal, so they could watch Don Cherry.
Wow.
And people would stand up, because these were little teeny monitors back in those days, get up from their press box seats, right, not go to the bathroom, not go for, and stand there and make sure that they, every word that Don Cherry said, even the French media, more so the French media. So regardless of whether you liked what he said, you watched, you didn't, whatever, millions of people watched. It was the highest rated segment on the highest rated show on Canadian television. It was an intermission. People were like, how do we do this, man? Like, watching the game is one thing, but how many people are sticking around to watch?
You didn't miss it. You didn't miss it.
Right. And let me tell you something. Halftime shows of football games, same thing. You got to hold the viewer. What do we got? I mean, what do you think the halftime show at the Super Bowl? If they could do that for hockey, you don't think the halftime show at the Stanley Cup final wouldn't be great? Okay. You know that there used to be two periods, you know, two halves of hockey back when there was seven-man hockey, seven-person hockey.
Long
seven
time.
On seven, right? A rover. And two halves. But this idea of let's split it into three periods caused all kinds of headaches from, and in radio, the same thing. I did radio with Joe Bowen for years. Man, it's okay. First intermission, you had to pre-record an interview or you had to have a live interview, right? And I'm talking like 10 minutes. I remember doing 10, 15 minutes with like Bobby Clark. Hey, Bobby Clark, he's in the press box. Okay. He's the GM of the Flyers. I'm like, you know, before the game, Bobby, can I talk to you the first intermission? Over? Yeah, sure. No problem at all. You know, here's a gift certificate to George Bigliardi's or whatever it was. Ooh. So you got to fill all this. I did this for 7 years on television. I did Leaf games for 7 years on global TV. I did the opening live from rink level with fans yelling and screaming and players seeing me and pulling on my mic cord, slapping me, slashing me with their sticks, dumping snow on my head while I'm doing a live opening. Okay. Did that for years. And between periods, I was responsible for conducting a 4 or 5 minute interview in a studio with a sweaty, stinky hockey player. Nothing against the guys today, but what happens today is, and you see this, okay, they come off the ice. Kyle Bukakis grabs the guy. As soon as he comes off the ice, the camera is rolling, right? So they're recording this segment. You've gone to commercial. You don't see this at home.
Right.
And he asks like two questions. It's 70 seconds.
Right.
That's it. It's boom. Thanks very much. For you. Boom. Right. They record that. When they come back from commercial, right, and the panel, hi, how many today? It's, and you know, pick your host. You know, you have to look at your, like, what day of the week is it? Is it Saturday? Is it Amber? Is Elliot? Caroline? McLean? Merrick? No, he's not. You know? What? Who? And then, oh, that outfit. Ah! What are you wearing? Anyway. Crazy. And now, and listen, you know, you got to fill time. What are they doing? They don't have a sweaty, stinky hockey player interview like I used to do. Like, I remember going, who's going to watch this? Because you can't ask the sweaty, stinky hockey player anything except for, like, the game. Like, you can't say, you know, about a week ago in Pittsburgh, these guys just came off the ice, man. He just hit the goalpost. He's having marital problems. The coach is threatening to bench him. The media is all over him. And you're asking him about a game last week. And no, it's got to be, you know, what, just like, in, did you see anything in that shift? Fuck. Meanwhile, you know, you're getting 3-word answers from the guy, right? Your producer is, my producer's in my ear, Mark Askin or Eddie Milliken. You know, 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes. What am I going to ask this guy? So instead now, what do they have? They have, you know, they have like David Amber last night. Who's going to win the Calder this year? Okay, Elliot, who do you think? You know, Anthony Stewart, who, you know, next question, you know, who's going to win? Is Austin Matthews going to score more than 70 goals? Yes, no. Like, just fill, you're filling kind of time. You're, you know, what do we do? So back in the day, it was like, well, we don't do that. We don't do that. We just have Mark ask, like, you know, as many questions as he can, see if we can fill in time. One night, I'm sick as a dog with the flu. I mean, I'm dying. And we're on the road. I don't even remember where. And in between periods, the first intermission was always the home team player, right? You go to the PR department, say, yeah, we'd like to have Brett Hull on, right? In the first intermission, if you're in St. Louis, and, you know, Brett Hull would come on, and invariably Brett Hull would have had like garlic pickles and a salami sandwich and coffee. You know, for like his lunch, and you'd sweat, it would be pouring out of him. Like, you'd smell it on his breath, and he'd be, oh God. Right. And he'd always, you know, these guys would always want to take their hand out of their hockey gloves and shake your hand. Hey, how's it going? Like, fuck, you just, so you reeked. Okay. Anyway, this one night, this one night I got the flu. I got Dave Hannon in the studio with me, second intermission, and I'm dizzy. I'm nauseous. And he's ripe after two periods, and he's sitting 3 inches from me and sweating all over me. And my producer says in my ear, you got 4 minutes with Dave. So, and I'm like, I telling you, I'm about to pass out. Okay. And I say to Dave Hannon, well, heck of a penalty killing job. You and Dave Hannon are quite a team out there.
Oh.
And I meant Dave Reed, because Dave Hannon and Dave Reed were the penalty killers on the Leafs. I meant Dave Reed, but, and I'm looking at Dave Hannon and I go, you and Dave Hannon are quite a team. And without missing a beat, Dave Hannon, and then this, I give him credit for this, because you're between periods of a tough game. He right. just looks at me and he goes, I am Dave Hannon. And I go, of course you are. I didn't mean to suggest that you were playing with yourself. Like I'm all, because I'm all giddy and he's just kind of broken the ice. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what did I just do here? Right. And I'm in the middle of this interview of like a sweaty hockey player. What else am I going to ask him? And, blah, 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 and I get the name wrong. And I just remember my producer kind of going like, are you all right? No, I'm not all right. I got the flu. I'm dizzy. I don't know who I'm next to. I'm ready to pass out.
And a young Bruce McCullough is watching this live and he thinks, I have an idea for a song. These are the dates I know. And now you know the rest of the story.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm wondering if I think that skit came after I did this thing with Dave Hannon and Dave Reed.
Yeah, probably.
That's very funny. And you mentioned that.
Dave
Hannon, Dave Reed. That's very good. That's very good. Okay. Yeah, before we go, folks, The Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of is a book that I wrote a couple of years ago. And because of COVID and other things like that, we really never did get the book tour or any of that stuff going. So if you're interested in a great book about a real interesting person, George Orton, the first Canadian to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games, get in touch with me or Mike. I'm at markhebscher@gmail.com. Markhebscher@gmail.com. And it makes a great Christmas gift. And if you got someone that loves to read and loves a great story, this is a wonderful story, researched lovingly by yours truly. So check that out. Also, I should mention, now we're looking for sponsors because our great sponsor, Crossman's Golf and Country Club, will be leaving us at the end of the golf season, which is very soon. And that means it's a cold winter. And we need to stoke up the fire with new sponsors. If you're interested in a sponsorship, get in touch with me or Mike as well. And it's called a call to action in the podcast business.
So markhebscher@gmail.com. If you have any questions or any interest in possibly sponsoring the show and helping to keep this going, send Hebsy an email today.
That's right. Reasonable rates. You don't have to worry about that. That's it for episode 306 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. And man, nothing but great guests. Like just grinding them out.
I just dropped.
No, not grinding. That's not the right word. Pumping them out, baby. Pumping them out.
Ian Thomas just dropped. So if people want to hear Ian Thomas,
love Ian Thomas. Painted ladies and a bottle of wine, mama.
Yep.
All right. Thanks to Crosswinds Golf and Country Club for their support. Crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online now. Fall golf there is beautiful. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. We really love you. Tell your friends. Write a nice review. Give us a smiley emoji. A thumbs up, a share, whatever you can. The more listeners, the better. You know, a lot of people, one particular fellow got in touch. He says, Hebsy, I didn't even know you were still alive. I used to watch your back in the day on Global. Great to have you. And here I am saying, you know, check out the podcast. Psst. So, tell your friends. We're back with another episode next week. I hope it's as good as this one was. Until then, so long for now.